South Africa should never have left Super Rugby. South Africa don't belong in Europe. Kick them out. We don't want them. Yeah, you've heard this all before, haven't you? And today, you are going to get a front row seat as I discuss why joining the URC was the best move South Africa could have made. But before I go there, I want to do something that YouTube gurus highly warn against, and that is talking about a completely different topic. I have a strong feeling you will not mind. I want to congratulate our national cricket team for their magnificent victory over Australia in the World Test Championship Final at Lord's.
To the winners of the ICC World Test Championship Final 2025, South Africa!
Hardly anyone gave us a chance. But Themba Bavuma and his men basically showed the rest of the world a big fat middle finger, and we were able to overcome a very strong Aussie side and become the champions of the world. Special mention to Kagiso Rabada and Aidan Markram. These men deserve statues. But we know the politicians already stole the budget for that. Nevertheless, we are now the champions of the world in rugby and cricket. There's an Africa Cup of Nations coming up at the end of the year, so Bafana Bafana, you know what you have to do. No pressure. Okay, so as you guys know by now, New Zealand and Australia kicked us out of Super Rugby in 2020 during COVID, and we needed a new home for our franchises. The Cheetahs and the Kings had been involved in the URC's forerunner up to that point. There was a one-off Rainbow Cup competition that was organised, you might remember that. And then, for the 2021-22 season, the United Rugby Championship was launched. The Stormers, Sharks, Lions and Bulls would participate alongside four Irish teams, four Welsh sides, and two each from Scotland and Italy. South Africa's teams have done very well so far. There has been a South African franchise in every final so far, for example. The Stormers won the inaugural event, beating the Bulls in the final. Then the Stormers lost in the following year's final to Munster. The Bulls have lost in three finals so far to the Stormers, Glasgow Warriors, and most recently Leinster. The Sharks have also shown great improvement, reaching the semi-finals this year. And I have no doubt the Lions will get there eventually. Historically, the Ellis Park crowd ebb and flow, probably like no other team in South African rugby. It's almost as if they either win the Currie Cup or are nowhere. And then you can apply that erratic historic form to Super Rugby and the URC. We've also seen our teams now involved in the European Champions Cup. It's true we've not been successful there, but I also think the scheduling is problematic. And something has to give. Hopefully, that can be sorted out. That said, the Sharks did win the Challenge Cup last season. The Challenge Cup being the second tier European competition. If you like your football, it's basically like the Champions League and the Europa League. And in this case, the Sharks won the Europa League. And that meant that they qualified for the Champions League the following season, or in this case, the Champions Cup. Now, the critics have said that the South African fans are not on board with the URC. I dispute this. Yes, our crowd attendances are not the best, especially during the round robin phase. But there are a few things to be said here. For example, the Stormers have the best attendance in the entire URC. So you can't say people are not coming to the stadiums. The Bulls, for whatever reason, tend to play quite a few afternoon matches. Remember that this tournament takes place in the South African summer predominantly. And while you might be seeing an empty pavilion on the TV, the reality is that most of the fans are sitting on the same side as the TV cameras where the shade is. And in a 50,000 seater, if half the crowd are sitting on one side, that's still 25,000 people at the stadium. You know what I mean? And in terms of sitting in the shade, you can't blame the fans for that. And even if there's only 15 or 20,000 people in the stadium, that still outnumbers most of the other URC clubs. In terms of the Sharks, there are fans in the ground, maybe not as many as you would like, but once you get to the knockout stages, you'll see the numbers fill Kings Park, or whatever it's called these days. And then Ellis Park. Well, yeah, it has its own challenges. Firstly, it's in a really bad part of town. If you go to a game there, you want to be out of that area after the match as quickly as possible. No, seriously. There is relative safety in numbers. So if everyone leaves at the same time together, you've got a good chance of getting out there, dare I say, alive. So if you hang around too long and are leaving by yourself, there's a real danger of being hijacked. Factor in a team that is not winning at the moment, and that's why there are not great attendances at Lions matches. One of the other criticisms is that South Africa isn't a European country, and therefore we don't belong there. Yeah, we're not European, but this is a professional sport, and this is how the competition works. It's only really old school grumpy folk that will moan about that. And eventually, they'll stop. They will come round. If I can come back to football, for example, in the 1990s, it was only the champion clubs that played in the Champions League. So you had to win your league in England, Spain, Italy, wherever, and that's how you got into the Champions League. Then in 1997, they changed it so second-placed league teams can also qualify. Guess what? The old guard complained at first. They're not champions, and this competition is only for champions, they said. Well, no one says that anymore. And in some cases, five teams from the same league now play in the Champions League. They will survive, will the old guard. In terms of television audience and the resultant revenue that it generates, the Europeans love having us in the URC and the Champions Cup. Believe you me, no one is kicking us out of this. Being in the URC is good for us because we're earning television revenue in pounds and euros. Being in the URC is good for them because they get to come up against South African opponents on the regular. This is a win-win situation, believe me. Now, as with anything, there are pros and cons. There are those who don't quite like us being in Europe. We've spoken about that a little bit earlier. And I get that in some cases, it will also take fans time to get used to the opposition. I'm not being condescending when I say that. I promise. I've said before, people are busy. Most folks are at work from Monday to Friday. You know, the old stereotype is, or cliche is to say 9 to 5. It's really 8 to 5, isn't it? And then these people, you, have to come home, cook, clean, spend time with the family. And the next thing you know, it's bedtime and you have to do it all over again. It's very difficult and sometimes even impossible to stay up to date with everything that's going on. That's why I'm here to help you. But seriously, how can you expect the average person to still know all the rules? I mean, for example, World Rugby changed the laws every year. Who can keep up with this? Then suddenly the Stormers are playing the Dragons instead of the Highlanders or the Crusaders. What's going on? I totally get it. But what is starting to happen is fans are recognising all the Irish players at Leinster and Munster, for example, and Ulster, the Scottish players at Edinburgh and Glasgow. Fans have noticed that Glasgow are coached by Franco Smith, for example. Jock Nienaber, he is at Leinster. They've just won the URC. That's two URC wins in a row for South African coaches now, and three out of four. Beyond that, Johan van Graan just won the English Premiership with Bath. And also don't forget that over the course of more than two decades, the South African franchises also built up rivalries with the New Zealand and Australian teams in Super Rugby. And that's gone now. People need to get used to it. I think the Bulls and Crusaders had developed quite a nice little rivalry. And I always felt that there was niggle whenever the Stormers took on the Hurricanes and also the Waratahs, to be perfectly honest with you. And so on and so forth. Now again, in terms of pros and cons, I do think there was something magical about waking up at 4 in the morning to watch our teams take on Kiwi sides in the old Super 12. The same applies to the Springboks. But those early matches fell away. Why? Have you ever wondered why? Because the TV audience is minuscule at that hour. That's why matches started kicking off at around 9:35 South African time. Later in the evening in New Zealand, but South Africans are actually awake to watch it. If anyone ever tells you that South Africa didn't provide the bulk of the TV revenue to Super Rugby, then you tell them what I just told you. Now, yes, there was something charming about waking up in the small hours to watch our boys in action. I can remember as a high school boy, you wake up and you make yourself a Milo or a hot chocolate. Dad or uncle so-and-so might have thrown a little something else in that Milo or hot chocolate for himself. But unless you're waking up at 4, naturally, and that's not most people, then anything more than once a year, in my opinion, is too much. I also think Super 12 was great. I thought it was a high-quality competition. The expansion to Super 14 was okay, and it still worked. But then, as soon as they added the Melbourne Rebels, and then later the Jaguares, Sunwolves, and Kings, it just became a convoluted mess. The conference system largely works in the United States because that's how their leagues operate. Everyone knows what's going on from a young age. I think it caused chaos and confusion to the fans in terms of Super Rugby and South African rugby fans. Yes, I know, ironically, the URC also has a conference system, but I feel like we actually know what's going on. We've got used to it. Nevertheless, the biggest benefit for me is that time zone traveling that has been eliminated. Previously, our teams had to travel almost to the international dateline, have their body clocks knocked out of whack, and then face extremely difficult opponents in many cases. Now, we're playing teams that are also in our time zone, more or less, which makes all the difference. And I said something about this about 2 weeks ago, and some commented that it balances out because the Kiwis and Aussies had to come this side as well. No, it's not the same. Go look it up. Traveling east knocks your body clock out of whack. Traveling west does not. There is no scientific research that exists arguing that traveling west is easier than going east. And perhaps the most important aspect is that the New Zealand and Australian sides now miss out on at least a handful of matches against South African opponents each year before the Rugby Championship kicks off. Again, I spoke about this about a fortnight ago. It's not about the results, because some of you were commenting and I think there was some confusion. It's not about the results. We all know the Kiwi franchises were more successful. But it's about becoming battle-hardened before the Rugby Championship or the Tri Nations in the old days. The New Zealand and Australian players no longer get that. And so, what it means is when they face the Springboks in the Rugby Championship, they are immediately on the back foot because it takes a bit of getting used to. And I think that's wonderful. As well as the fact that they're no longer leeching off of our TV money. Yep, they now have to bankroll themselves. And from where I'm sitting, it's not looking too good. So what do you think? Do you enjoy the URC? Or do you wish we were still in Super Rugby? Let me know in the comment section down below. And before I go, guys, I'd like to quickly tell you about my Patreon page. It's an opportunity for you to get involved and for you to support me with a financial contribution. It starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US, not Zimbabwean. And the reason I'm asking you to support me is because I would love to do this full time, but I'm going to need a little bit of help to make that happen. I would also love to go to Australia in 2027 and cover the Rugby World Cup for you from down under with daily coverage. Now, again, it starts from $5 per month. And what do you get for those $5? Well, you get to have your name featured in my YouTube videos. You can get to have a quarterly Zoom call with me where we discuss Springbok tactics and matches. You can even get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite Springbok player. You might be able to get your hands on Springbok merchandise. You might be able to win it, including the new James Small biography that's coming out later this year. And you can even get discounts on my soon-to-be-launched merchandise store with really cool Front Row Rugby goodies. It's yours if you want it, starting from as little as $5 per month. It's entirely up to you, and I appreciate your support in advance, and I look forward to your company next time.